This is the Hockey News Podcast.
Hey, everybody. It's a very special edition of the Hockey News Podcast. Why is it special? Well, it's Matt Larkin here with Ryan Kennedy and a rare sighting of the Loch Ness Monster, a.k.a. Ken Campbell. He's back from his travels. Also, a disclaimer, he's sick, so he's somehow going to be even more annoying than normal because he might cough.
I may have to cough, and we don't have a cough button.
No. There's no cough button.
There's no cough button.
What is a cough button? Is that a thing?
Yeah. Like when what? Have you ever been in a radio studio in your life?
Oh, man.
After all the radio stuff you've done?
I just cough into my arm.
No, they have a button that says cough, and so if you have to cough, you just go and you press the button and nobody can hear it.
I've been coughing into my shoulder like diving
when you're
away from...
listening to the radio, everybody, like, people might be coughing all the time and you have no idea.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That blew my mind. Wow.
Cool story, bro.
Cool story, bro.
Oh, we're off to
we're off to a
horrible start.
Let's start over. Speaking of cool stories, there's a transition for you. How about that Alex Ovechkin, the man having the possibly greatest Stanley Cup bender I've ever seen, just jumping in water fountains, sleeping with the cup. It seems like lots of fun.
I'm not going to say it. I'd be offensive. I'm not saying it.
All right. I got to trust you on that one.
Yeah.
If Ken thinks it's offensive, then it must be real bad.
Yeah.
One of the best elements, I mean, even though Vegas is a great story, but one exciting thing about Washington winning is that the narrative of, oh, we can't win the big one, blah, 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 is finally dead. So where do you guys think Alex Ovechkin now ranks among the all-time greats? I mean, he already has the, seven Rocket Richard trophies three MVPs, a scoring title, but now he's got the Conn Smythe and a Stanley Cup added to that resume. Is he a top 10 player now of all time? Was he already? What do you think?
He is, in my opinion. But let's get our parameters straight here, okay? Because I hear people saying, "Well, your legacy shouldn't matter whether or not you won a cup to your legacy."
No.
Which I think is a bunch of crap.
It
should matter a little bit, but it's not everything.
It matters. It big time matters, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And you know, everybody's talking about, oh, you know, he was already this, he was already that. No. And you know, Matt, you called out people who said that Alex Ovechkin couldn't win the big one were haters. And I'm going to disagree with you on that. They're not haters. I think that was a legitimate question. I think that was a legitimate concern that Alex Ovechkin could not win the big one, that he could not take his team to another level, because he didn't do it. I mean, he was good.
But he was always
it wasn't
okay.
on him.
When I'm
it
saying
wasn't
haters,
on him.
What about people who say he can't win in the playoffs and his numbers are really good in the playoffs? That's what I'm talking about.
But he couldn't win
narrative.
In the playoffs.
Right,
he couldn't win in the playoffs.
It was not because of his efforts.
But Matt,
he was playing well.
But Matt, he was playing well, but he didn't deliver. He didn't put his team on his back and deliver them to where they needed to go, and that's what he did this year.
Yeah,
that's what he did.
He definitely
this year.
Did do that.
You look
this
at
year.
Game. You look at Game Five. There's a pivotal point in Game Five where the Washington Capitals have a power play. Ovechkin bobbles the pucker. It's a lousy pass or whatever, and Pierre-Edouard Belmar jumps on it and starts going down, and he's on a semi breakaway, and Ovi.
Yeah, Ovi
turns around, catches up to him. The guy doesn't even get a shot off.
Yeah, and doesn't take a penalty.
Yeah, and doesn't take about nothing.
Yeah.
You know, he blocked shots. He did what he had to do to become one of these great players, and he wasn't doing that in the past. In my opinion, Matt, he wasn't doing that. He didn't deliver his team to a Stanley Cup, and I think all of those questions before this year were absolutely legitimate. And I think now he's definitely put them to rest. And I think, you know, I mean, God, look at the body of work.
Yeah.
Guy's got seven goal scoring titles. Three times he's been named MVP by his peers. You know, the Calder Trophy, and now it's the one that pushes him over the edge.
Right.
He not only wins the cup, but he's the most valuable player in a cup win. Like I was getting to the point where, like, most superstars win the Stanley Cup at some point in their career, right?
Mm-hmm.
It happens. Like, you can count Eric Lindros, Marcel Dion, Pavel Bure, Cam Neely, maybe.
Joe Thornton hasn't yet.
Yeah. So, you know, they're not many. Like, when you're a superstar, you win the cup at some point in your career. And I kind of thought with Ovechkin, it was going to be at the end of his career, getting traded somewhere
else.
Like
Ray Bourque stuff.
Yeah, something like that. But now he's done it. He did it legitimately. He led his team, and now he definitely deserves to be in the top 10. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think you have to start thinking about names in context and say, okay, is he better than Brett Hull? Maybe. Is he better than Jager?
Scored 600 goals in a time when it's not easy to score.
And Ovechkin's more
decorated. Not the dead puck era, but it's not easy to score, and he's got 600 goals.
Now you guys start saying, Bobby Hull just had one cup. I don't know how many scoring titles Bobby Hull had.
Same amount of goal scoring. Only Bobby Hull and Ovechkin have done it seven times, led the league in goals seven times.
Right. Like and how many hearts did Hull get?
I think one.
One. So I legit have to say,
yeah,
what's the difference between Ovechkin and Bobby Hull? Like, these are the questions we can now ask.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is Rocket Richard on the table?
Absolutely. I think I would put Ovechkin ahead of Rocket Richard.
This is the fun
I did a blog on this last week.
Ovechkin is Rocket Richard.
I don't think that does justice to Ovechkin.
Okay.
That's my last take.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like, Rocket Richard, he was a dominant goal scorer, but he was not, like, Ovechkin's a three-time MVP.
Right.
Rocket Richard, I believe, won one MVP.
Mm. Rocket Richard would have only won his own trophy three times.
Right.
And Ovechkin's won it seven.
And Ovechkin did it in the League of 30, and this year, League of 31, whereas Rocket
Richard. But, I mean, somebody has to do it. Right. Somebody has to do it. So, sure. I mean, I don't think you can measure it that way. Somebody's got to lead the league in goals, and it could have been somebody else before, right?
Yeah. Right.
So, I think it's still a pretty big deal to do that, whether it's a 16 league or a 30-team league.
Right. I mean, if you think of individual skaters, I think that Gretzky is the one guy in Gordie Howe that are as decorated or more decorated than Ovechkin. But Ovechkin's right up there with, like, Mario Lemieux in terms of individual accolades.
Sure, sure.
He's, like, in terms of skaters, he's now top five-ish all-time, if we judge just based on hardware. Mm. Right? He's got more hardware than Sidney Crosby. Right, and then of course Crosby always had the Conn Smythe and the Cup
and
rings.
The Olympics and everything else. Yeah, yeah.
But to me, I mean, I still think the issue is not as black and white as I think you think. I think it is.
I think you think it is. No, I think that you think that I think that you think it's black and white, which I think.
I don't deny that winning the Cup, especially the way he did it and really taking the team on his back, ups Ovi's all-time value. But what I'm saying is, to me, he might have still been top 15 a week ago.
Sure.
Whereas I think the hater crowd would say, no, he's only top 50.
Oh, okay.
Like the ones who are like, he's a choker, he's a choker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I would say, well, I mean, if you look at the playoff losses, it wasn't Ovechkin doing the choking most of these years.
Right.
So, but I don't deny, of course, it's going to up his legacy, which is why I wrote it down as a topic to discuss on this podcast.
Right.
We know that he's...
Well, I'm sorry, Matt, if I misunderstood what you said.
You don't get me.
I guess you're from Jupiter and I'm from Mars.
You don't get me. You don't get me, bro.
Yeah.
So what about the Capitals as a team now? It's going to be interesting this summer. I mean, we don't know if John Carlson is going to come back. We talked about it already on the podcast.
We don't know if Jay Beagle's going to come
Jay
back.
Beagle's going to
Jay
back.
Beagle?
The defensive dynamo checking.
He was outstanding.
So the big question with the Capitals was this the perfect storm and they finally did it? Was this their last chance? Or should we expect them to have continued success? Will they be contenders again next year? How do you see it?
It took Steve Yzerman 14 years to win his first Stanley Cup. Took Alex Ovechkin 13. And look what happened after Yzerman won his first one. He won, two more? Three more? Anyways,
He won two more.
Yeah. I think this team, I think this is a team, well, I mean, they all might die of alcohol poisoning this summer. So that would wipe everything out. But I think this is a team now that's found its swagger. It's found its, you know, it knows what to do. Like now... You know, now when they go into playoff series, it's like, hey, remember last year? Remember last year when we were down 2-0 in the first round and they hit the post in overtime and then we went back and scored and won the whole thing? You know, I mean, now they've got that and they understand what it takes. They've still got a boatload of talent. I mean, Evgeny Kuznetsov is ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they've still got, I think, enough talent to be there every year.
Mm-hmm.
So many things have to go right, as we've seen.
Yeah.
So many things have to fall a certain way for you to win. But I don't see any reason why the Washington Capitals cannot be a perennial Stanley Cup contender for the next 3 to 5.
See, for me, if you ask me, can they repeat, I'd say, oh, God, no. No, they're going to lose in the first round next year. Because, you know, we talk about the Stanley Cup hangover. And, I mean, when I look at that roster, let's just assume that John Carlson goes somewhere else on the open market. Then all of a sudden, Michael Kempney is no longer the, you know, cure all to your defensive woes and your defensive depth. You know, Michael Kempney worked very well with John Carlson, and that was a great pairing. But that was like a short-term marriage. I don't think there was any, you know, question right. about that. I just think that they're going to lose some depth. They were already thin. They benefited from the fact that when you get to the trade deadline, you know, salary cap considerations are lessened, and Michael Kempney really worked out. But you take John Carlson off that roster, you make Brooks Orpik a year older, and I know everybody gets a year older, but it matters more.
He's not getting any younger.
He's not getting any younger.
Yeah. One Brooks Orpik year is like three human years.
Exactly. Or, yeah. Yeah. So when you take out John Carlson, you add more mileage yeah. on Orpik and Niskanen. I mean, I guess Christian Juice will be better. You know, Madison Bowie will take on a bigger role. But I just see a team where they're going to definitely take a step back. And then maybe after that, you say, well, with Ovi, Kuznetsov, Backstrom, you know, all still going in their prime and Holtby still in net, you can make another run. But I don't think it's as ironclad as when you looked at Pittsburgh. You could say, like, oh, yeah, they'll be there next year. They right. got Crosby, Malkin, Kessel, you know, Letang will be back, blah, 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 blah. I don't think it's a similar situation. I think it's a lot more volatile just because of the way the Caps were constructed.
Right, and with Carlson, and we also don't know if Barry Trotz is going to be back. I think there's a good chance yeah. he's coaching the New York Islanders
yeah,
in
too.
A few months,
yeah.
right? So yeah. that could have an effect on
everything.
Or the
Minnesota Wild.
Or the Minnesota Wild, here, yeah. yeah. Who knows,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that will be interesting to see, but I think I lean slightly Ryan's way. Just I think that everything lined up perfectly, but because of the fact that a lot of the roster is still kind of in flux, whereas Pittsburgh, it's like, I think Jim Rutherford signed every single player going into year two or something, right?
Yeah.
Almost the entire team was intact,
yeah.
But we don't know. Especially, it's John Carlson. That determines everything, I think.
Yeah,
right.
And what about Vegas? I feel bad for Vegas because I feel like, because Washington winning is a great story, everyone's talking about the Capitals, and Vegas was this amazing story, the biggest surprise in team sports history, and suddenly, is it just me or are they kind of forgotten?
Yeah.
All of a sudden,
a little bit.
Yeah. Like, well, oh, yeah, Vegas. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, yeah.
So, 1 year wonder for them as well, or do you think they're going to be a contender again?
Well, it's over now. Right, like this whole sort of beautiful story, it's over now. Now reality sets in, right?
Yeah.
Now reality sets in, and now you sit there and you go, holy crap. We traded three picks for Thomas Tatar, and he's got 3 years and 5.3 left on his contract for
right.
the next 3 years. Eek. Remember that clean slate we had?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of filling up a little fast,
yeah.
isn't it? Marc-Andre Fleury? Discuss.
He's got a year left.
Marc-Andre Fleury, discuss.
Yeah.
Discuss. He's got a year left. They're probably going to extend him. Discuss amongst yourselves. I don't know.
Yeah. And maybe if you stick with the George McPhee cutthroat expansion draft mentality, maybe you just say, well, we won with five different goalies this year, so I know
yeah,
you were
yeah,
great, Marc-Andre, but
yeah.
we're not signing to 7 years.
Right, right.
So, I mean, maybe there's a lot of turnover in that respect. And again, when I look at Vegas, I say, no, they're gonna lose in the first round. Probably to Edmonton next year. I think they're still gonna be decent,
yep.
but yeah, there's gonna, you know, William Carlson is probably
He's not gonna have a 25% shooting percentage.
Exactly.
Yeah.
yeah even
yeah.
if he was at
like
17
so,
or 19,
like,
that's
you,
35.
Like, what do you do though? Like what if William Carlson just had this amazing year and he's really only a 14 goal scorer?
Yeah. yeah.
Like I don't know. I mean, and I'm not saying he is. I'm not saying he isn't.
At least a 25 goal scorer.
Yeah.
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 Vegas is interesting to me because even though I think maybe they'll take a bit of a step back, I still like their long-term
mm-hmm.
outlook now
mm-hmm.
because of the fact they had that great opening draft. You
yes.
got guys like
right.
Glass and Suzuki and Branstrom coming
yes.
up the pipeline.
And Gusev.
And Gusev.
Yeah.
And also, you know, Shea Theodore, Alex Tuch, guys like that were first-round picks. They have pedigree, and I think they're going to keep getting better. Especially,
yeah.
I thought Tuch especially really showed something. He might
Definitely.
Become a 25-goal guy by next year as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So even if you're going to – maybe you'll lose one of Neil and David Perron free agency, I think guys like Tuch are going to keep getting better. And Vegas is so unpredictable. Like, they almost got Erik Karlsson. Maybe they're going to try and get him again and make a trade.
Yeah, the only thing is that comes with a lot of risk, too.
Yeah.
Then you start, accelerating the whole process, right? It was
yeah.
supposed to be playoffs in three, Stanley Cup in five.
Right.
Well, now that's tossed out the window.
Well, and fan expectations
yeah,
now are way
yeah,
higher.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And so now, let's say you do go after Erik Karlsson. Okay. Do you have to take Bobby Ryan, too? Then there's a contract albatross number two on your books.
I mean, you can't re-sign James Neal or David Perron if you're taking on Bobby Ryan. Yeah.
One quick side note. James Neal's the new Marian Hossa. Two cup final losses.
Oh, yeah.
With two different teams.
With two different
teams. With Marian Hossa.
Just like Marian
Hossa. So whoever he signs with this year is going to win the cup. Is that what you're saying?
Possibly.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Okay.
If we're going to have neat little storylines.
So speaking of whatever team James Neal is going to sign with, let's make our offensively early Stanley Cup picks. These are not going to be official, so we were allowed to change these picks between now and September or October.
Okay.
But if you have to pick the Stanley Cup winner right now, who are you
going
to go with?
I'm going with the Hockey News pick.
Me too.
Nice. Winnipeg Jets.
Winnipeg. I'm with Ken on that one. Winnipeg is my pick as well. What about you?
Okay, I'm going to... I think Winnipeg, but I'm going to toss out another dark horse one because things never happen the way we think they're going to, and say Calgary.
Ooh.
Yes.
That's a dark horse.
That's
a charred horse.
Yeah.
But if you look at them on paper, they should have been really good this year. Yeah. So, you know, Bill Peters coming in as coach, and...
Because he did such a good job at the World Championships.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute.
Wait
a second.
World Championship burn.
Wait a second.
Well, Connor McDavid, I mean, you know.
Oh, wait a second.
All his
fault.
Yeah.
But, you know, can't win the big one.
He can't, yeah.
He can't.
What has Connor McDavid ever won? He did win World Junior Gold. Yeah.
Yeah, but he didn't win the Memorial
Cup. Joker.
No, he didn't. Never got to the OHL final.
No, well, he did get the OHL final. They lost to Oshawa.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
the year Oshawa
didn't win the
Memorial
OHL
Cup. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, but I mean, if you look at Calgary, and I'm sure they'll make some sort of change in the summer to augment the roster, but. I think they could be kind of interesting. But I do think my first thought was Winnipeg.
Yeah, and they're our 2019 pick. We want to stroke our egos.
So, like, in about 8 months, can we just, like, have a time on the podcast when you and I just laugh at Ryan for this Calgary pick? Like, we'll just, like, they're in their division. And then you and I will just go, blah!
Calgary will be picking first overall.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to rule out Pittsburgh yet. Because
that was my dark horse.
It's funny you're calling Pittsburgh a dark horse, but like they're still bringing back much of their core. They're going to have a little bit of space to play around. Maybe they trade Phil Kessel. There are those weird whispers from, I think it was Elliot Friedman, saying that maybe Pittsburgh's going to be in on John Tavares. Like, what the hell?
Really?
Did you guys hear that?
No.
I think
Why wouldn't you go there? Why wouldn't you go there?
Three deep, Crosby, Malkin, Tavares. Jeez. Just hand the cup to them right now.
Yeah.
But maybe Winnipeg-Pittsburgh could be the cup final next year. Who knows?
Yeah, sexy final.
Yeah, yeah. So the draft is in a few weeks. And we see the better, bigger trades at the draft than we do at the deadline because it's not just rentals. So who are you looking at as a major trade candidate in a few weeks? It could be Phil Kessel, I guess, but who are you looking at?
It could be Phil Kessel, yeah. I mean, Erik Karlsson, of course. Mm-hmm. I think we all agree on that. But that's kind of like... Yeah, we know that's one's probably going to happen. So you have to come up with another one. I would say Ryan O'Reilly in Buffalo. Not because of what he said after the season, which I think was really misconstrued.
Sure.
I think that really got twisted in a lot of ways, in ways that he didn't mean it to be.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, I think he's a pretty competitive guy and he wants to win. Mm-hmm. And he's a good player and all that. But it just... I mean, it's very, very clear it hasn't worked in Buffalo.
Yeah.
They've gotten worse with him. And it just hasn't worked and it's time to move on. And if they can find someone to pick up that contract that might need a really like really, really like top line, second line center who's gonna make a lot of money, who's gonna make first line money, if you can find a team that's willing to take that on, I think that would be a pretty good candidate. I think another one is Max Pacioretty, the sign and trade possibilities that come with with him. So those would be the two I'd be looking out for.
Yeah. One sort of, I don't know if this one's going to happen, but I like Ken's picks, but Drew Doughty maybe. I mean, I look at Los Angeles right now and, you know, Rob Blake, it seems like he's not afraid to like, you know, shake things up. They've had some front office things.
Ken's making a really big surprise face.
No, I almost did a spit take. Oh, yeah. I had Diet Coke in my mouth and I almost did a spit take. That's awesome.
Okay. Yeah, why not?
Whoa!
Well, because,
I hope that happens. We'll be there. That'd be awesome.
That'd be huge. But if you look at Los Angeles, I mean, I think they have to... It's tough because they have those big contracts, but they are older guys, and I don't know. I don't know if it's going to happen. Maybe if that's just a one-in-a-million shot, but if you look at what you could get for Drew Doughty, and you look at the Kings' pipeline, as thin as it is, do you say to yourself, like, I don't see us winning a cup in the next 3-4 years based on Edmonton ascending?
Well, based on what happened in the first round this year.
Based on what happened in the first round.
I mean, LA talks about being a team that does things faster, but I mean, just because you're trying to do them faster doesn't mean it's faster.
Going from slow to not slow is not fast.
Yeah, exactly.
If I'm you guys, you guys are going to be at the draft. If I'm you guys, I'm just going to park yourselves as close to Don Waddell as you can, because I think Carolina's going to be the most active team.
Jeff Skinner.
I think Jeff Skinner is going to get traded in the next week or two, and I think I'd be looking at...
Well, if he's going to get traded in the next week, it's not at the draft.
Well, you know what I mean. Well, the draft's in a couple weeks.
In June.
But also, I think one of Noah Hanifin or Justin Falk, we know they have that surplus on defense, and Hanifin reminds me a little bit of Dougie Hamilton a few years ago, where he's an RFA, he's looking for a long-term deal, the team isn't sure. It seems like they don't necessarily quite agree on their value, and then Dougie Hamilton ended up getting dealt at the draft in 2015. So we know Vancouver's being the team linked.
And the owner's all crazy to make a bunch of moves, too. So.
They want to change the culture. If I were to make a prediction, I could see Carolina making even 2 trades before the month is up. And I don't think you're going to see, you know, multiple defensemen go, but somebody from that group.
Yeah.
But I feel like Skinner is the guy that's being mentioned everywhere.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, with his speed, we know teams could use him. Seems like Edmonton is a team that's wanting to get faster, or LA. I think LA would be a great fit for Jeff Skinner because of the speed.
Speaking of Edmonton, does Milan Lucic get traded?
Do you trade him to a salary floor team?
Maybe.
I hate when people say cap floor. By the way, that's an oxymoron. Like the cap is the top, or cap ceiling is redundancy. The cap is the top.
The cap is the ceiling.
And cap floor is ceiling floor.
Yeah.
So it's a salary floor. Doesn't Lucic have no movement and major restrictions on his contract?
So then he wouldn't be going to his cap. Then he wouldn't be going to a cap team.
I thought that was
or a salary team.
Right. Mm.
Let's just check.
We're gonna go to some reader questions now. We have a few good ones. While Ken is doing some research on Milan Lucic. We're going to start with...
I would assume he has a full no trade.
I think Lucic does.
Everybody who signs, we should know this, shouldn't we, guys?
You should have looked it up before.
Yeah.
Are you going to keep looking right now?
I'm looking right now. He's got a full no move.
Okay, that's what I thought. So, then again, I mean, I've said it before on the podcast. Like, once a guy knows he's not wanted, then...
Yeah. And he's already in the city that's on everybody's no move clause. So.
That's right. Edmonton Bird.
It's redundant.
That's right. First reader questions from Andrew Karcher. He says, Andrew missing a few words here. Everyone talking about how long it has been for the Capitals. How about the Blues? What do they need to do to get over the hump? That's a good question, because the Blues are sort of now, I think the Blues and Sabres and Canucks are ascending to the chair of longest suffering, you know, franchise without a cup.
Yeah.
So what do you think is necessary for the Blues?
Jake Allen.
They need him to be good, or they need someone
else
to be good. But the thing that I've kind of learned with all of this is like, you know, you talk about, oh, they should trade this guy. And like how long ago were people saying that Ovechkin, like I even heard people saying that Ovechkin should go to Vegas in expansion draft. You know, I mean, you talk about, you got to move this guy out. You got to change this. You got to do this. I mean, Washington stuck with it.
Mm-hmm.
They stuck with it. Detroit stuck with it through all those years when people were saying they needed to make all these changes. You know, teams that stick with it, you know, Pittsburgh never traded Malkin, you know, I mean, because people talked about that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you can't have both Crosby and Malkin. They tie up too much salary, blah, blah, blah. You know, they got to trade one of them. Well, they never did. And they stuck with their guys. And I mean, T.J. Oshie was huge, and Devontae Smith-Pelly obviously was huge. But you look at it, I mean, Braden Holtby was a homegrown guy. Alex Ovechkin was a homegrown guy. John Carlson was a homegrown guy. Nick Backstrom was a homegrown guy. Dmitry Orlov, you know, I mean, all these guys were homegrown guys. I mean, you've got to build it from within. And St. Louis has it going right now. They have some great young prospects coming up.
Right.
They have the MVP of the OHL. They had the MVP of the Memorial
OHL,
Cup or
OHL final or OHL playoffs.
OHL playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so they've got some good pieces. I think it's. Like, I just don't think you go crazy and start making all these big trades.
Unless you can sign John Tavares, right?
Yeah.
Because I do think the Blues would be a pretty intriguing fit for him.
They would.
And you do need to replace Paul Stastny
Right.
Roster-wise. And Robbie Fabbri will be back, and that'll help.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, they got a great decor. And if Jake Allen can just play a full, consistent season, or as we said, if somebody else can do it, then I don't see a lot of elements lacking on the Blues right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I'm pretty confident, and I've already picked the Blues as one of my favorite sleeper teams for next year because I think that, I mean, Tage Thompson's already there, but somebody from that group of Robert Thomas and Jordan Kyrou and Clem Costin are going to make the team.
Yeah.
Maybe two of them, maybe three of them, who knows, mm-hmm. depending on what the roster looks like and how many spots are available. So they've got good young talent being injected. I mean, Braden Schenn was a great fit. Tarasenko's still there. Jaden Schwartz, for the 55 games he plays every year, is always
he's like their best player.
He's a great player. And I do think the Blues, cap space-wise, like they could have room to chase Tavares. I think St. Louis is one of the better fits for Tavares because, again, I've said before, he strikes me as a guy that doesn't want a mega spotlight market. So if he decides he does want to leave the Islanders, I think the Blues would be one of the 3-4 teams with the best chance to get him. So, but either way, even if they don't make a move like that, I think they're going to be a pretty good team within the next 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Next question, Richard Russell. Says, this is an interesting question from Richard. Is the pregame show that Vegas puts on unfair to the opposing team? As a viewer, I find myself saying, come on, drop the puck already. Because there's a lot of pageantry, and I guess it is. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Ken, you were there during the finals, so you can have a better perspective on that.
Well, I mean, it's not like they're sitting on the bench watching it, right? They're in the dressing room through this whole thing. I mean, it was really cool. I mean, it's not my cup of tea to... so to speak, but I mean, I can see how people appreciated it. People liked it. It's, you know, it's Vegas. You've got to do it a certain way. The game started at 8:22. Mm-hmm. That was like, and it was supposed to be an 8 o'clock start. It started at 8:22. Mm-hmm. I don't think that that's personally, I don't think like it's not like one of these ones where they're doing a ceremony for a guy,
right?
You know, and both teams are out there, and they're both sitting on the bench, and they're like the "I'm legs. Freezing," and you know, whatever. Like they're sitting in a really nice, cozy dressing room. So I don't think it really creates that much of a disadvantage for teams. Mm-hmm. And I mean, fact of the matter is, Washington won 2 out of 3 games in Las Vegas.
Right.
You know, they were 10-3 on the freaking road this year.
Tied the NHL record.
Right. So I don't think it was that. I don't think it's that big a deal. I think the question is you know, how over the top is it for people? I don't have a problem with it. It was fine. You know.
Yeah, I definitely got bored by the third final
game. Yeah, I don't find it all that compelling, to be honest with you.
I don't know if they needed to have it on the broadcast. Like. Yeah. Do it the first time and be like, ooh, that is fun. But after that, it's like, oh, okay, here come the archers. And
Yeah, I don't, I didn't find it all that, like,
if you're
it was
there,
okay,
yeah,
but, you know, I was there. I was there watching, and it was like, yeah, this is okay. But
if you're a fan, I get it. You know, that's cool. And I don't think it's a hardship for the players because, as you pointed out, they were in the room.
Yeah.
But, it was, after you see it a couple times, like, all right, let's move on here.
Yeah.
It's interesting, too, because to me, even if it was a disadvantage to other teams, I kind of like that because it's sort of old school, the idea that, like, every barn has got its own character and, like, different challenges that go with it. Whereas I find the experience is more standardized in the modern NHL compared to, you know, going to Chicago Stadium or Spectrum and, you know, arenas that had different boards, things like that. So,
like,
the Vegas experience, it kind of makes it unique. And it's like, oh, we're going to Vegas. Now we're going to have to deal with the jelly legs after we're waiting too long for the
start.
And
in Vegas, the Capitals had a really good dressing room. And in Washington, Vegas didn't have a very good dressing room.
Yeah, so there
you go. I mean, right. So that's. I mean, I'd be more concerned about that, right?
I just like it for just the character, and you know, I don't like the idea that the whole arena experience is homogenous. It's like
I mean, Washington, the first game of the final, they had Pat Sajak out there doing the Wheel of Fortune thing with the lineup, and I was sitting there going, oh my god, like they had Pat Sajak and they had Linda Carter,
yeah,
right. Geez. And I tweeted out, like I said, they you know, these Vegas trots out all these guys. Washington trots out Pat Sajak and Linda Carter. And I tweeted out, who's what's next? The guy who used to play Huggy Bear? Like, it was like, holy smokes.
That's awesome. One more reader question. This one's from Jordan Sampson. And Jordan asks, do you guys ever record the podcast over beers?
No, but that's a damn good idea.
I like this idea.
It's a good idea. If Ryan drank, it would be an even better idea. But Ryan doesn't drink.
Ryan can just host.
Yeah. We should do that.
We should totally do it.
No, but we should do it, like, not just over beers, like, but we should do it after we've had, like, three or four.
Well, three, and that's the equivalent of...
I'm gonna say six.
Yeah, maybe six.
Three or four is six for Ken.
Right? Yeah, that's right.
That's the equivalent.
No, just Diet Coke, Ryan. Just Diet Coke at the moment, but that's a damn good idea.
We have recorded multiple podcasts while driving in cars.
Yeah, but
and those are fun.
We don't want to combine the beers and
the drink.
You
don't want to be drinking. You don't want to be drinking with the driving. No.
No.
We've done that. And as I recall, Sammy and I were slightly hungover at that time too. You were driving. Was I driving or were you driving?
No, you were
driving. No, I was driving, so I wasn't hungover.
Yeah.
But somebody was hungover. Anyways, no.
We'll do it, Jordan. We'll do it for like a lazy late summer podcast.
We may try to do one on like...
Do a patio podcast.
Are we going to try and... Should we spill the beans on our draft?
Well, we'll have something. We'll just say
we'll have something for the draft.
Yeah.
How's that?
It'll be good.
All right, everyone. Stay tuned. Next podcast should be sober, but maybe there's going to be a beer one coming soon. And thanks for listening this week.